Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Here's the news in 60 seconds, YumaDailyNews.com. A judge in Arizona has been ruling that mail-in early voting shall remain legal in Arizona. The GOP asked the court to restrict mail-in voting for November's general election. You can read more about the ruling at YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma Police have been making an announcement for signups for their Second Citizens Police Academy this year. The 12-week-long course gives participants an opportunity to see how the police department works, as well as get some hands-on instruction. Read more about signups, YumaDailyNews.com. The Padres have been finishing up their series against the Mets. Final game is tonight in San Diego. Highlights from yesterday's home game have been posted. The first pitch at Petco Park tonight is 6:40 local time. Get the latest on the website and listen to the game live on our talk station, AM 560 KBlue. If you have ideas for local stories here in Yuma, send them to us in an email, newsroom@yumadailynews.com. That's the latest for now. I'm Andrew Caravella.
Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
Good morning. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on KBLU. I'm Chris Wheeler, hosting for Kim Kale, who's out of the office this week. I'm chair of the Chamber Board of Directors. I'm here with Colonel Patrick McFall, commander of YPG. Good morning, Patrick.
Chris, good morning. Jonathan, good morning. Thank you all so much for having me out here. Hey, I tell you, it's quite an honor to be able to come out here and have a conversation with our awesome Yuma County and in the local community. I think this is very important. And it's an honor, Chris, for you to be here with me, especially as a community leader yourself. So thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate that. It's nice of you to say. It's also good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on at YPG, what's happened, what's coming up, and where we're headed. I'm sure you got a lot of stuff. Make sure it's not classified so we don't have to, you don't have to shoot us later.
The NSA comes in and stops us. I love it. No, that's all true. That's true. So Chris, I appreciate this opportunity. So what I kind of want to talk about is what we've been doing for the past maybe 6 months or so. And, of course, Anna's here from PAO, and thank you very much.
Hi, Anna.
Shout out to Anna.
Yep, and Anna, keep me straight, of course, okay? But in the past 6 months, we've really been focusing on our people. We came up with this program called the Merge, which is our employee modernization program. Started about a year and a half, 2 years ago, building this program from the ground up, by the people, for the people, okay? And the whole focus is where do we want to be in 2035, okay?
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's kind of far out, you think, 2035.
Yeah, that's a hefty goal.
But, you know, there are some documents out there, like the National Security Strategy written by the President of the United States, National Defense Strategy written by the Secretary of Defense, yeah, you got the Army strategy, you have the ATEC strategy, so you got some guiding documents, kind of like where we're going to go. And you can already see some of it out there, like, for instance, artificial intelligence, machine learning, autonomous learning. So those are probably hard skills. But let's talk about some of the soft skills, whether it's leadership, as simple as Microsoft Excel, Power BI, just tools that people need to do data analytics. Okay, and how do we advance those data analytics, and how do we do it faster and make decisions easier as leaders? And so this whole program came about, and so it was like that was kind of the focus the team came up with. And so what do we do with that? And so we've worked with some educational institutions to build an AI program for us. And then we're very lucky. And so we're all learning as we go. So back in, and I'm looking at Ann to make sure I'm staying straight, back in like March, April timeframe, we invested about $275,000 in our people to take us through end of September. And, you know, it's my number one priority.
Wow. How many people do you have right now?
As far as total numbers, you're talking about 2,500.
Okay. That's pretty significant.
Government personnel, 600 or 700, and I think the majority of personnel either are contractors. So, go ahead.
So this includes private civilians and service?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Because, you know, Chris, in a year from now, the Army's going to say, Patrick, it's time for you to move on, and our great teammates up there are going to stick around. And, you know, you got your teammates up there who've been working the same job for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. But we need to refresh our people, modernize them. Make sure that when people bring their equipment out here, it's not like you look at the first time and go, what is that? So by sending people to modernization programs, we're able to work with our customers as they bring that technology and go, okay, I think I know how to test this technology to meet your demand, your state requirements, and then I can give you feedback. And so that to me is what's important. And so far, and I'm looking at Anna as a speaker for the workforce, I think everybody's been receptive to this modernization, and I think everybody's excited about it. You know, it's one of those things where you always hear leaders talk about, hey, I'm going to modernize, right? I'm going to send people to training, and maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't, but this is really a focused effort, okay? And, you know, people wondering if I was going to get off the ground or not. And finally, we did get off the ground. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, hey, what about this idea? What about this idea? What about this idea? So I'm feeling the energy and the positivity.
People have been sitting on it for a while. But it sounds like this is a good thing because you're talking about ensuring job safety for the people that are there. And you're talking about keeping these positions relevant moving forward, which is good for the base, but that's also good for Yuma.
I don't disagree. And, you know, we've had this conversation. I think you and I have sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. we talk a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And I,
for the record, Patrick and I know each other outside of work, and we do engage socially occasionally. He keeps me up to date, and occasionally I provide him with a good meal.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm doing an advertisement. Prison Hill is good food. Thank you.
I wasn't going to say it, but thank you.
But so, you know, on that note right there, Chris, you know, it's funny. You know, we've talked about the science behind what you do, mm-hmm. okay, which is, you know, brewing beer and very fascinating. All that is stuff that our people need. But then again, the techniques you use today are not the techniques you need for 2035. 100%.
And it's nice that you can make that relevant and bring it to somebody like me, which is it's a simple process. And in your world, everything is technical. You know, they blow you up. really, right. I mean, some of these things are life and death. But, you know, bringing that up to date, if you're operating with a skill set that's 25, 30, 40 years old, you know, I have friends that are driving cars that are 20 years old. So, you know, this, I can see how it applies. I mean, I think it's a lofty goal. It sounds like you're starting to tackle it.
Absolutely. And so this past year, April, I brought all of our directors and above, our executive leaders, we'll say, into, you know, sit down into an offsite and said, okay, where do we want to go? You know, Department of Defense budget is either going to flatline or decline just because it is. It may make inflation. It may not. I don't know. It depends what Congress and everybody's going to do. That's above my pay grade, okay? But we're going to have limited resources. And so how do we want to use those resources? You just can't – you have to have a focused mindset, because if you don't, we're not going to do anything. You can't do everything. And we got to make decisions. So we as leaders came together, and we're starting to think about that. I will tell you my objective – in fiscal year, we're in 22 right now, in 23, starting 1 October, is to invest about $500,000 in modernizing our workforce in education and things like that. So I'm doubling the money, because I think that's how important it is. And so important that if someone wants to not go to that training, they actually have to go to either Mr. Larry Brockamani, my tech director, or myself to get approval.
Huh. So it sounds like you've got this. This is going to be a continuing program. Is this something that's just implemented under you, or is this something they're going to engage in as the base goes forward, or as the mission of the base goes forward? I mean, this sounds like something that would be almost perpetual.
You know, Chris, that's a target right there.
Okay.
Is a year from now, the Army's probably, as I said, going to probably move me on. So I want this to stand because, number one, this also goes after our recruiting efforts.
So when Colonel McVall is sitting on a patio having a pina colada at his beach house at Martinez Lake or his lake house, what does YPG look like in 2035?
You know, that's a good question. In my mind, what 2035 looks like is, you know, you kind of see this is me talking, okay? You see the technology out there. We've had this conversation about autonomous cars right now driving themselves. I was in an Uber in Phoenix.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yes, and this gentleman who was driving me goes, hey, do you mind? He takes his hands off steering wheel and puts his blinker on. The car changes lanes. It's driving itself, you know. It seems scary, but instead of fighting it, we need to embrace it because it's coming. The Army is starting to look into this technology. Last year during PC-21, Carnegie Mellon, which is the AI, Artificial Intelligence Center of Excellence, was out here. And they were experimenting with AI technology. And it's coming.
I have a couple ex-girlfriends that could use it right now. I do if I'm just going to be straight. But
Hey, you know what? Think about this in a battlefield perspective, okay? If I can maneuver four Bradleys, okay, and I can maneuver it safely, or it's kind of doing itself, and then all I got to do is drop the ramp and allow the dismounts in the back of it to come out and engage the target, close in and engage the target that they're supposed to do, and you're sitting in overfire with four tanks and no drivers or gunners, all doing it automatically, okay, but with oversight, of course, because now we're getting to constitutional law. I'm not going to get into this ethical discussion right now. But
you have to shoot me.
But that, to me, is what I see the world going. And who knows? And you know, we already have, think about it, with aviation assets, UAVs, Gray
right.
Eagle. Go ahead.
Well, we have to take a quick break while I stop off and we get our security clearance revived. All right. See you.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Dangerously hot conditions ahead from Thursday through the end of the weekend. We have an excessive heat warning from 10 a.m. Thursday morning all the way through 8 p.m. Sunday evening. Our heat index could be as high as 117 this weekend. Mostly sunny skies out there today. A bit of a south breeze at times, but again hot near 105 this afternoon. Partly cloudy tonight, 76. Mix of clouds and sun. Hot again tomorrow, 108. Sunshine Friday, 110 to 115. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone at the Weather Channel.
Ski into summer with the Toys of Summer giveaway at Quachan Casino Resort. Play for the chance to make a splash with your favorite summer toys. You could win a pair of jet skis and a trailer June 4th and 18th. Ski into summer with the Toys of Summer giveaway at Quachan Casino Resort. Play with your rewards club card to earn entries. Not a member yet? Sign up today for your chance to win up to $1,000. So much, so close. Quachan Casino Resort.
Must be 21 and older. Management reserves all rights. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP 24/7 for problem gambling.
Hi, this is Tony Gwynn Jr., excited to be on 560 KBLU for San Diego Padres Baseball. Get the games here and get the complete game schedule at KBLUAM.com.
Padres Baseball on KBLU is brought to you in part by Paradise Casino Sportsbook. There's nowhere better to place your bets than Paradise Casino Sportsbook. So much, so close.
And we're back. Welcome back to Chamber Chatter. I am Chris Wheeler, sitting in for Kim Kale. I am chair of the board of directors. I'm here with Colonel Patrick McFall from YPG, the commanding officer, I believe is the title.
Yes, sir.
That sounds really awesome. Way better than mine. We've been talking about some of what's going on at YPG in the past, some of what's going on presently, and talking about what's going to go on in the future. And he is painting a really nice narrative, a very good, you know, sci-fi movie. I mean, you've got a really cool job. So
don't worry, Skynet's not coming online. We're okay.
So All right. Well, you know, if you were here before, he was talking about a lot of employee modernization and some of the investment that he's making into his employees and the commitment to improve and modernize YPG moving forward. If you just go on with that, I'm interested to hear where you're at.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So again, in FY23, we're looking to invest about $500,000 in more modernization of our teammates, okay? To me, this is a sustaining effort, in my opinion. It needs to be a long-term thought process because technology is moving so fast right now. What you know today is not what you know tomorrow, but you can build upon it. But you have to get that huge insertion from the educational institutions we have, which live and breathe this stuff. To me, that's important. And then you bring that back, and you're doing real work to solidify that knowledge and make, you know, hands-on type of thing. So that's kind of where we're going there. The other thing is that I know I've been asked a question. Last year, Project Virgins 21 came out here, and what a big event.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it was huge in that it showed off Yuma and what we had. It was good for you. It showed off your facility, gave us a lot of exposure. I think, you know, if those things keep coming, that's win for everybody.
I agree. Now, I know PC22 is not going to be coming out here, and I've had this discussion before. And quite honestly, we're not the right place for PC22 and where the Army's doing this year. Okay. Well, I don't get too much into the details of it. That's okay. But it's moving. It's not really a technological demonstration or event. It's more of, does the technology fit in the hands of the users? And YPG is not a right place to do maneuvering and things like that, you know. But PC-23, which is next year, will be back to what a PC-21 looked like.
Oh, excellent.
Now, where it's going, I don't know the answer. The Army's still making decisions. You know, my personal opinion, of course, you know, I love YPG, so I say, come out to YPG. But the Army's going to make decisions. But I will tell you, our teammates up there made such a splash in the Army's eyes. And what people may not realize is that there were so many high leadership-level leaderships that came out to YPG, and our teammates shined.
There were generals as far as you could see. And I don't know if I'm allowed to tell the Constellation story. I learned... because there were multiple generals eating at my establishment, which I, you know, is an honor. One, that they would choose us, and two, you know, you're just on your best behavior because every one of these men are important, like well more important than somebody that makes beer. And so I asked one of them very politely. I'm like, you know, if you've got, you know, four or five multiple of the same things, you know, it's a murder of crows, it's a 12-pack of beer, it's a, you know, what do you call a gathering of generals, and there's 25 stars in the room. And he looks at me deadpan and says, well, you call them a constellation. and in your head, it makes sense, doesn't it? It's like, well, if there's 12 stars, I mean, that's constellation. And, you know, I go up to another general and I sort of have an inkling that maybe I've been getting messed with a little bit. And I ask him, I go, so a gathering of generals is called a constellation. And he looks at me absolutely befuddled. And he's like, which one of them told you that? And that's when I realized that I should have charged him double. So, it was fantastic. I mean, but every one of them had nothing but good things to say about what was going on at YPG. And I think that's a testament to what you're doing and where we're going.
Chris, absolutely. But, going forward, YPG is tied to the community. What we do up there, we can't do without the community. You know, we're going back and forth talking about how the restaurant industry or the hotel industry or the tourism industry, is important what we do. So when people come out here and they're here for long periods of time, you know, what do they do on the weekends? What do they do at night? Where do they go eat? Because we have a hotel in YPG, but it can only house so many people. So we have to come into the community to help house those people, and of course they got to eat. And, you know, that's also what makes YPG special, in my opinion, is because when they come up there to YPG, as I'm pointing to YPG, nobody can see it.
It's the beauty of radio.
Yes.
Talk with your hands and no one knows it.
But they say, hey, YPG's awesome. But the community and the industries, the restaurant industries, the hotel industry are not as supportive, then YPG gets a black mark. Okay, so it's really a community effort and community event, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, YPG has been near and dear to Yuma's heart for a long time, since as long as it's been here. You know, we've got a long history here of supporting our servicemen between MCAS and YPG. They're really integral to what makes Yuma, Yuma. And, you know, speaking to that fact, we have two retired COs from YPG that have decided to make Yuma home. And I think that really speaks to what Yuma is, that, you know, you can come to work at a place, essentially come in, be told this is where you're going to live for a little while, and then you decide to adopt it. And I think it that really speaks to what it means to Yuma and what Yuma means to YPG.
Chris, I don't disagree. I know Heidi and my wife, have embraced community, and the community has embraced us, and we're very blessed for the kindness everybody's shown. And we've had the honor to go to events, and just people have been so kind. They're like, hey, how are you? They come up, they're very nice. People invite us to go on personal time with them, as you know, we've alluded to in our earlier discussion. It just makes us feel kind of at home. But it's also important that we all maintain those relationships too, because, you know, we're all in this together. We look at hiring. Past 6 months and right now, one of my biggest challenges is hiring.
Everyone.
That's
across the board. That's where we're at.
Chris, no kidding. I mean, I had about a 2 or 3 day discussion about opening a pool because I need lifeguards. Okay. And if I don't get lifeguards, I can't open a pool. Well, up at YPG, which is out there in, you know, a good little drive from here and no pool, that's not good, especially in the summer. I mean, I realize it's a little cool out here right now, but it gets hot.
So I'm hearing there's an opening for like a high-tech military-grade floaty.
See? So, man, AI.
Just got like, exactly. You know, smart floaties.
But luckily, our NWR team, Rao Welfare and Recreation, they're able to work and get people hired. And all our teammates up there in our NWR team, my God, our NWR team is awesome.
I can get lost in acronyms. What's MWR?
Thank you. Morale, Welfare, and Recreation.
Okay.
So you think about from a city, they're my parks and rec. They run my restaurants. They're my daycare systems, the family programs. And that's what they kind of do. Okay. And they have a hard job. But my hiring in that area is difficult. It just is.
I think it's difficult all the way around. I'm going to segue just kind of on a side point, because there's conversations going on in Yuma about a multiversity or an extended university campus. How important would bringing something like that be to the longevity of YPG, having a more educated, more skilled workforce that potentially offered complementary programs? I mean, would that, you know, is that something that you think would help?
That's a great question. I'm going to be very careful as I skirt that question, if that's okay.
That's fine by me.
You know, I'm apolitical, and I don't want to get too involved in things. But that being said, though, you know, the U.S. government, I get so frustrated with our system. Because I see something, I want to go get it, but I can't get it because I got the federal acquisition regulation, which guides my buying, right? And so, but how would it help? You know, one of my challenges, my issues right now is not really getting engineers. My issue is getting ORSA, Operational Research System Analysis.
You almost went into an acronym there.
I did, and I'm going to kill you with acronyms. But, you know, or getting finance managers or contracting officers or operational, those are hard jobs for me to fill. And just because there's such a high skill set. And, you know, what I think I heard once, and one of the things we talk about is YPG is probably the highest technical skilled employer in this area. I'm open to discussion on that, but just because of the magnitude of what we have to hire up there, you know, engineers or technicians, mechanics, and, you know, that's probably our biggest thing is that if I pull someone up there, I know I'm hurting the community because I'm taking another person out and they may not be able to hire for their job or their business. And that's one of the things I think a multiversity would do for us. It would help maybe bring that skill set in and modernize that skill set. And you must look more than just agriculture and military. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I love the idea. I love the idea of a, you know, a polytechnic. I think we have a lot to capitalize on. I think we have, you know, we have solar, we have water resources, we have, you know, crop genetics, we have all manner of opportunities here that we don't have elsewhere in the state. And, you know, we suffer a pretty significant brain drain. These jobs that you're talking about open up elsewhere in the country, and our students leave high school here, go to school out of state, in state, and then they take these jobs elsewhere. But it'd be really nice to have some of these people homegrown stay, somebody that understands the value of YPG, that has seen what it's meant for the community, that gets the engineering degree or that gets the finance degree, that goes out there and says, hey, I've, you know, UMass my home. I'm going to help make this thing what it's going to be for the next 20 years. I love that idea. I think, you know, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when, but I think it's only going to be beneficial.
Absolutely. And, you know, you think about the other thing is that nowadays you got dual working homes, okay? You know, my wife, Heidi, she works for General Service Administration, which is out a federal government agency. She's a contracting officer. And so she works full-time. And
smile, Johnny's taking pictures.
Oh. And so, sorry, I got thrown off there. But, and so she works full-time, I work full-time, and, you know, Anna and her husband, we both work full-time. You know, you and Ashley work both. And so when you have children, what do you do? So, you know, that's some of the things that people are debating right now. It's like, what do we do?
You spend lots of money. That's what you do.
No, that's fair. That's fair. And so I guess what I want to say is that, you know, our hiring challenges, I fully understand them on many aspects. Take, for instance, it was Bring My Child to Work Day today, right?
We've got a cave bear.
Yes, and I don't know where my son is. But I had to bring Liam here because my wife and I are balancing things. And that's what we have to do as parents. And as a society, you know, we got to be able to be adaptive to that and be respectful that, you know, people have real challenges that we need to address. And what that looks like, you know, it's not the 1960s anymore where I'll say a spouse stays at home and one spouse goes to work, they come home, and, you know, leave a beaver days are probably over. We are in a different era, and we have to be respectful to that type of stuff. And so I'm talking about these things. So it goes after the modernization of your workforce is, as leaders, how understanding are we in our hiring practice, and how flexible are we, and how can we work with our teammates to, so they can manage our households?
Well, that's good perspective. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break right now. We will be right back with Colonel McFall from YPG. Thank you much for listening.
This hour is brought to you by Hospice of Yuma, the Yuma community's only nonprofit hospice care. To receive the best hospice care, call 343-2222. Hospice of Yuma, there is a difference.
Would you look at the time? It's tax time. You already know H&R Block does taxes, but here's what you may not know when you file with H&R Block, like how you can get expert help in person or virtually. Plus, our tax pros average 10 years of experience. You can even request to work with the same tax pro every year, and your biggest possible refund is always guaranteed. No one offers more ways to help with your taxes than H&R Block. At H&R Block, help is here.
El Dorado Broadcasters is searching for creative problem solvers to join our team of marketing professionals where we help businesses be more successful.
Hi, I'm Dan Kripke, Director of Sales. Not only am I new to the Yuma community, I'm also new to El Dorado Broadcasters. What initially attracted me to Yuma was the professionalism and quality of individuals within El Dorado Broadcasters. I'm a proud member of the team, and I am proud to call Yuma home. Would you like to join our team?
Apply online at edbroadcasters.com/careers. No employees were harmed in making this advertisement.
Every year, Arizonans lose millions of dollars in gift card scams. If you're being harassed or threatened to use a prepaid gift card as a form of payment, don't do it. It's probably a scam. Instead, hang up and report the incident to the Arizona Attorney General's office.
Welcome back to Chamber Chatter, the best, most hip, the wide, wide world of sports of what's going on at the Chamber. I'm Chris Wheeler, Chair of the Board of Directors, sitting in for Kim Kale, who is out of the office this week, so unfortunately you're stuck with me. But you're lucky enough to have Colonel Patrick McFall from YPG here talking about, you know, here and there and where we're going and some of the challenges and how they're getting past them. So welcome back, Patrick. was a mighty short commercial break.
Well, luckily, you know, there's water and stuff to keep us moist, and we can kind of move from there.
And side conversations.
They are, and they're always good, you know, Chris. And I appreciate conversation with you. I enjoy the high technical learning of the beer making. I never thought of it like that. Literally, I think for about 2 hours one night, I was getting almost had to sit down, break out pen and paper, and chart the periodic table.
When you feed a biochemist beer, he tends to geek out a little bit. So we'll just leave that at that.
That's okay. But that to me is why it's a great staple here in Yuma that you bring, and so thank you very much.
I appreciate it. I try to do other things outside of that and keep things nice and varied.
I tell you. And so, you know, you think about it. We talk about what 2035 looks like. And, you know, not that I'm promoting anything, but we'll take, for instance, the commercial industry out here. And to me, the commercial industry is anything that's non-governmental, if that's okay. You know, you take yourself. You're looking to expand, to move on. And where do I want to be? How do I want to expand? What does the market want?
Right.
And that's exactly what we're doing up there when we think about 2035, except we're not calling our market of how do I get cash, you know, make sales? How do I meet a need of the community that would drive something? Ours is how do we meet the need of the community to ensure that our community can do what it's due, i.e. support and defend our Constitution. And when we think about our market, we think about near-peer threats. And by the national security strategy, I think the peer threat is probably China, near peer being Russia. Now, I'm not here to argue about Russia, Ukraine. I'm not getting that discussion because I'm not smart enough to talk about it. But that is what we're focusing on. Or better yet, what happens if we get entangled in another Afghanistan or another Iraq? And you know, you think about history. Okay, history says that kinetic warfare, which is World War II, Civil War, invasion of Iraq, American Revolution, kinetic warfare, where two armies square off. That's only a small part of really what goes on. History says that most militaries, once a war is over, there's something you have to do to make sure you stabilize that piece of terrain that you just had a war on. And what do you do with all those people? And that's where the technology goes. How do you do those type of things with less people and still achieve the mission? But if you can't win the kinetic fight, it doesn't matter about the next phase.
You went right where my head was at. Well, the first step is winning, and I'm all about the winning.
And that's what we do at YPG, and that's why I'm focused on 2035. So we are modernizing with the Army. So you think about there's aspects of modernization. There's technology. There is software, hardware. And then you got people. And there may be some other aspects I may be missing. Of course, as technology goes into supporting that stuff.
Yeah, I think those are all three pretty big ones. So
exactly. You know,
we covered most of the bases.
And people are our number one priority up there.
Okay. People are hard to find right now.
They are. And I think that's a lot of what this conversation is about is that, you know, whenever I talk, I try not just to promote YPG. I try to promote what I think in the community I hear talking so that, it's a shared problem. We're all experiencing it. We're all seeing it. And what do we do to solve it? And I think we've also had a conversation of, you know, where, you know, we talk about where we're going to go here in the future. You know, how do we, you know, part of our modernization effort, if YPG goes in this direction, goes left, but the community wants to go right, then the strategies are not working together. So you kind of have to work these strategies somewhat together because you need both to be in tandem. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think it makes complete sense. I mean, your success is based on the success of the community, and the success of the community is equally dependent on what's happening out at YPG. I mean, it's no secret that YPG and the contractors that are there and all of the business that it brings into Yuma helps drive the local economy in a very big way. I mean, I see it firsthand. I have other friends in other businesses, and it's not just service industry. It's, you know, it's all aboard. People have to go get, you know, groceries. They have to, you know, they have to eat. And, you know, maybe I don't know how big the commissary is out there, but my guess is that if you've got 2,500 people shopping all at the same day, that might be a little bit of a stretch. You know, you've got, you know, maybe you need office supplies or services. And, you know, somebody's going to need an attorney one day because somebody got in an accident. So you have all of those ancillary services that the community offers and builds around that are resources for the people that you have in post.
And I agree, because you're right. I cannot satisfy every requirement up there. I can satisfy the basic needs. I need to go to commissary to get some groceries to feed, but like, especially out in this broader perspective, we rely on the community to support us because it's not cost beneficial to do it up there.
Well, and you do, and YPD in the past has done something super, super great for the community. You had that celebration, 4 or 5 years ago? Yeah, the YPG 2020? Yeah. David Klein of the Peacemakers, amazing. And, opening up the base so the community could come in and see it firsthand was, that's not something that I would have ever expected to see. And it was amazing. That's the kind of, there's a give back there. And I think that opening it up and letting Yuma appreciate what you're doing was a good idea.
I tell you, we looked into doing that again, but every time we looked at it, COVID shut it down. And
pesky viruses.
Yes, sir. So we haven't looked at it again, and something for that takes on a big planning for us.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know if my tenure I'll be able to do something like that because it might be we're outside the planning window of it. But something I might my predecessor to have a discussion with. I also say that it was a big event that took a lot of resources. But you're right. There's something he said about opening YPG up, and it's like, Area 51 opens up, right?
Well, you can hear about it all day long. It's like, oh, they do really cool stuff out there. And you know, YPG is three letters, but when you get there and you physically see it, it becomes something that you can remember that you've experienced. And that changes the game. That's the endearing quality about something. You have, it's why people in Yuma like their water. Everyone talks about water rights and whatnot, and the lack thereof, and what's going to happen with our water. But we have a river that we use all the time, and so you talk to a human. What I think the saying is everywhere else, it's water's for drinking and whiskey's for fighting. But in Yuma, it's whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. It tends to work just a little bit different.
So. Oh my God, Chris, that's alert. That is so true.
Where I was going is I think you guys are doing that you're doing progressive things that are really keeping YPG relevant. And I think you're on a really good track.
And I appreciate that, and that's why I like to come in here and be part of the chamber. To me, I think if I'm correct or wrong, the chamber is there to support the business community.
Oh, absolutely.
To promote business. And, so what is our business model? What are we doing? And I know whatever we're doing can kind of shape the community too. And so when I try to come in here and say, hey, community, or our teammates here, this is where we're going. This is kind of what we're thinking about. So is it supportable, not supportable? What do y'all think? I'm open to ideas, but it's kind of a partnership. And that's why I find these talks so important, is just to let the community know what we've been doing the past 6 months, where we're looking to go in the next 6 months, and are we all kind of, what's the feedback, what do you think, and where am I investing the money the Army's giving me? And where I invest that money could potentially shape businesses. Now, I realize maybe not you think about, well, I'm in the insurance business. Or I'm in a farming business. Well, if you think about it, farming is moving to artificial intelligence. They already have GPS on the tractors where they're going out. I'm being very uneducated in my terms here. But they're going out and farming, right? And so that technology can one person now could potentially control 4 or 5 tractors, and you're able to do more with less.
Well, I think I see the technology firsthand. We have, all the food safety rules and everything that goes into that. If we have an issue with a field, they can narrow it down almost to field and to row of where, the problem occurred, which is a fantastic thing to be able to do. It's also somewhat scary, but the fact that we have the technology to do it is great. But, again, that gets into, you were talking about the, somebody needs insurance. you have employees. They've made Yuma their home. They go out, they buy a boat. They've got to insure their boat. Hey, guess what? Now you've got, you know, those ancillary services come back around, and we keep touching on that. But that's, it's such a big, important thing that, you know, that gets lost in the mix sometimes when you see all, you know, you see the cool stuff. All the bells and whistles are the shiny things that we see. You know, for me, I drive out there and I don't want to pull off the side of the road because there's signs that are telling me I'm going to get shot if I don't make it to the bathroom. But, you know, and I've had the privilege of being out of the GM test track. And, you know, I was a kid in a candy store with all those cars covered in the fancy tape. It was just, I mean, it's amazing what goes on out there. So that's, it's your job, it, from my eyes, you got a really cool job.
Oh, I tell you what, you know, I got a cool job, but not as cool as the engineers on the ground, just blowing stuff up.
See, now we're talking.
Now we're talking some real stuff. Yeah.
So what's the coolest thing you've got going on out there right now that you can tell me about?
You know, we are right now,
Or do we need to tease this for a break? Nope, we're good. Okay, cool.
Great question. So we actually have, and I said Project Convergence not coming out here, but there is an aspect of Project Convergence that is coming out. Okay, I didn't really talk about it. Not that it's anything big, but it's going to be from Developmental Command. And so what happens? Developmental Command is basically they take the idea, a bunch of engineers do research development, R&D work.
The pocket protector crowd. Sorry, I keep doing that to you.
Okay, I'm going to catch my composure now, Chris.
No judgment.
I think he said that because he's one of them. So.
Sort of.
But that being said, they're coming out here. And so what you have are maybe technology that wasn't mature enough or didn't make it or is not going to be inserted into the main part of PC-22. So what we don't want to do is say, you know what, just because your technology is not mature, we still want you to come out and demonstrate this so that we can mature. Because it's one thing to go out and say, I want sharks with lasers.
Oh, that's awesome.
You say sharks with laser, everybody wants one.
I would help fund it.
See, but if industry can't figure out how to get a shark to put a laser on its head, then it's just a pipe dream. So you think about, the reason why we talk about 2035 is not just where the Department of Defense is, it's where industry is. And the Army is moving, I'm going to say Department of Defense, or Army, I'll just say Army right now, is moving in this direction. But if industry doesn't have the maturity or not moving in that direction, then it doesn't matter. And so what this really is say, okay, we want to thank you for investing. And we want to make sure everybody continues to invest, because if we don't, then we lose our competitive edge. You know, take yourself, right? And I think we've had this conversation, and it's okay if I talk a little about
it. Yeah, how about it?
Thank you.
There's nothing off limits on my end. I've got nobody's monitoring what I say, and I have no security clearances anywhere. We can be completely clear about all that.
And so, you know, we talk about, you know, the technology in brewing, right? And so maybe you need a new canister because it's not brewing fast enough, or it's not just brewing it right. And where is that technology going? I know I'm talking very rudimentary right now, and I'm insulting your community.
No, you're fine.
But, you know, you have a community of brewers that all pretty much know each other or know how to reach out to each other.
Yeah, no, it's safe to say that we all pretty well know each other.
And so if the brewing community is moving in this direction, then if the industry that you get your equipment from can't get there, it doesn't matter, even though y'all think this. So what y'all have to do is you have to invest incrementally, and the industry that is supporting you has to invest some of their dollars. So kind of like everybody's putting some skin in the game, and next thing you know, at 10 years from now, the brewing industry is, instead of taking 6 months to brew a batch,
you're hitting the nail on the head, and it's something that I hadn't sort of extrapolated from your conversation into my world, but that's what happens in the state of Arizona. Is you have an industry, in my case, my industry, that was being outcompeted elsewhere in the states. So the Arizona State breweries got together via the guild, and we really are a network of people that help each other out, because you know you're not competing against Bud Miller or Coors, the big ones. Because you'll never gain the market share. But in order to do what we do better, right, sometimes we don't have the resources, and that means supporting each other with personnel, with equipment, developing the technology to do things more efficiently and better, because we don't have the capital budgets of, you know, $10 million for a new widget that makes something fantastic. I do not have the taxpayer base. And if I had your budget, I would make a whole lot more beer.
We call you Anheuser-Busch. Upside down craft brewery market anymore, my friend.
No, I wouldn't. But I think that's awesome. I also, you know, this is I've got a question, because it occurred to me that are you having supply line issues the way the rest of us are now? Is that an issue out at the base that you've faced?
You know, we are. So I'll give you an example. One of the areas past 6 months or past year and a half I've been working on is the getting my fleet back to service maintenance. Okay, when I talk about service maintenance, we take our car in for an oil change every 10,000 miles, whatever it may be.
Right.
Get your ride tires rotated, lubed, all this stuff. Well, I got to maintain a fleet of vehicles up there, about 900 to 1,000 vehicle fleet. Okay. So through the years of just not neglect, just years of just wartime that has drained the maintenance of the fleet, because we're focused on getting our things out into the hands of soldiers or service members. Well, now we got to catch back up with that maintenance. And so what happened was it was moving slow. I'm like, what is going on? And I go, sir, we can't get the parts. We can't get filters. We can't get the little air filters. We can't get these things. And to me, that's a safety issue, because if I can't maintain a fleet of vehicles and I send someone downrange and they get in a wreck or some, God forbid, something bad happens, I would feel terrible, because it's a safety issue maintaining a fleet.
Yeah, I think it's admirable that you're constantly putting your team first and staff and colleagues. This is all sort of always front and center. I mean, it's the work is there, but this ultimately, at the end of the day, has a very humanistic approach, and I think there's something to be said for that.
Look, I really appreciate that, because it is my number one priority. And get back to, and we'll pause on supply chains and we'll talk about that. But like pulling the thread you just talked about, that's okay.
No, fine, have at it.
You know, you asked what the biggest thing I have right now, and what do? You know, honestly, Chris, I'm a paper pusher. I sit in my office, I stare at a computer, I wave and go this direction. I don't move product. I don't touch product. My job is to find out where we need to go and get us there, so that everybody continues doing what they're doing. You think about where you're at in a wheel, right? You've heard the whole saying, you know, you got a wheel, a business is a wheel. If one thing comes out of whack, the wheel doesn't work right, or you have a problem. I'm just a part of the wheel too. Okay, everybody thinks, oh, you're the wheel. No, I'm not. I'm just part of the wheel. I rely on our teammates, you know, our YPG family, to do everything. Now you take Anna sitting over here, okay? Anna's function, it works in our public affairs office, right?
Yes.
And she's here to make sure that, you know, one, keep me straight, but she's here to make sure that, you know, we are advertising, telling people, communicating to people everything we're doing. That's important. And then you go down range and you see the ones shooting artillery. About a year and a half ago, everything's a year and a half. You know, I've learned
right.
that in my
world.
We're all
there. That's the blip. That's the Avengers, you know, the Marvel Universe blip. We're just going to forget that happened for a little bit. Everybody's back now.
Yeah. See, the Army has fielded ammunition. Okay. And so we have to do stockpile reliability testing. What does that mean?
Okay. I have no idea.
And what
sounds
what,
cool?
What that means is, so you got all this artillery or ammunition that's sitting in some ammunition supply point, some warehouse. not a warehouse. It's safe, but I'm just going to say warehouse for simplistic terms, okay?
A warehouse surrounded by guns.
There you go.
Perfect.
And so it sits there in the climate, exposed. Not really exposed, but exposed. But after a certain time, we got to bring a lot. A lot being, everybody knows what a lot is.
Yeah.
Brings a lot back, and we have to do random testing on that lot to make sure that lot's good or bad. And all that goes into a broader spectrum of what the Army G3 does, where they manage the Army's supply of ammunition, how it's going to be allocated, and then the Army G4, which is logistics. Everybody says modernization, modernization, modernization. Well, you still have to maintain what you have. Otherwise, you'll have a modernization problem. And so that's kind of, so we had to go out and hire a couple more crews to ensure that we were keeping up with the demand. Huh. We have so much demand out there, not just on modernization. When you hear artillery guns firing, it's either A, we're testing new ammunition, or we're just testing ammunitions out there to make sure it can do what it's going to do. And those are some of the things that goes on. And we talk about that wheel, right? No one's more important than a wheel. And that's my philosophy up there. I'm not more important than Anna. Anna's not more important than me. We're both human beings. We wake up every day and we live with our sins. We cry. I got my kid out here. I'm a human being too, right?
Right.
And that's what I want people to understand is people's our number one priority. And it's really what I'm getting at. I don't know if we need to go to a break or not. I don't know where we're at.
Okay, we're good. We got a little bit of time left.
I'm sorry, I saw some hand signals, and last time those hands were either cease fire or commence firing.
I have one hand signal or two. Okay, and thumbs up. Like that's pretty good.
See?
Maybe a third that I can't use. But
universal salute signal.
Yeah, that one. All right. So it's interesting. You think of this of the military as such a well-oiled machine that is just this machine that's sort of trudging along ever forward, and you get in its way, you just kind of get run over. But there's a mechanism that makes that possible, and having that tiered system, that order, but putting making an investment in the operations is huge, and that it generalizes to every business. Your employees are your livelihood. If I don't have employees, I don't have an income. My job as an employer is to give them the tools they need to do their jobs as well as they can do it. And that generalizes, whether you're selling widgets or you're, testing ammo, it's the same thing.
I agree with you, Chris. And again, one of the things I like to do is come out here and say, up at YPG, maybe it's mystical Area 51 place, but we're still human beings. We still have feelings. We still have emotions. We still have problems. Our problems are shared across the chamber, across our community, across all the business leaders. I may have a budget of, I don't know, $200 million.
A little bit.
But that budget goes quick like anybody else. And, you hear, you're investing $500,000, and someone once said, that's my entire yearly operating costs.
Oh, yeah.
But I got a lot more, I got more people I got to throw at. And yeah, that's a huge chunk for me.
So we are coming up at the top. You want to thank our guest today?
Hey, Colonel McFaul, I really couldn't thank you more. It was good seeing you this morning. I really appreciate you coming up out here. I know it's a long drive to and from. It's for me. I had to get up just a little bit earlier than normal to prep for this. It has been an absolute pleasure. Johnny, thank you for sitting in for Rust. I am Chris
thank
Wheeler,
you.
Chair of the Chamber of Commerce, sitting in for Kim Kale on KBLU. This has been Chamber Chatter, and thank you very much for listening.
Broadcast radio continues to be a staple of marketing plans for all varieties of business. Just listen to these results. 22% increase in top-of-mind awareness for an online-only retailer. 20% increase in brand consideration for a weight loss brand. How about a 28% increase in web traffic for a rubbish removal company? Yeah, this stuff works. Learn how it can work for your business. Sign up for our free business e-tips and learn how to not only reach more people, but connect with more people more often with the power of radio at YumaAdvertising.com.
America could soon enter stagflation territory with slow economic growth, high unemployment, and high inflation. That is why I recommend Gold IRAs from Birch Gold Group. Hi, Stephen K. Bannon here, and I want to remind you to get Birch Gold's free info kit on sheltering your savings with Gold IRA. To get your free copy, text the word SHELTER to 989898. With stagflation looming, it's critical that you act today. Text SHELTER to 989898 right now.
Kokopa Casino and Resort is giving away fortunes of cash in June. Every Friday and Saturday between 4 and 8 p.m., two winners every hour could win up to $500. Then on June 25th, one lucky winner will be drawn for $5,000. You can earn entries now by playing your favorite slots or table games with your rewards card. See the Rewards Club for details. Kokopa Casino has your fortunes of cash this summer because we love our loyals at Kokopa Casino, South Highway 95 in Somerton.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.